Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we have a fascinating conversation that we're going to be enjoying with an author, Charles Lockman, and his book, The Last Lincolns. Now, I know so many of you've been seeing different programs on television. This is Lincoln's birthday. There's all kinds of information that's out there. Well, I have not heard, up to this moment, very much about what Charles writes about. Charles, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me, Donna.
This has really been an awesome, awesome opportunity for me to be able to read about your book, The Last Lincolns, The Rise and Fall of a Great American Family. For you to get all of the documentation, for you to get the photographs and all of the various points of information, how many years did it take you to do this?
Well, it took a number of years. It was really a labor of love for me, Don. I've been fascinated with the story of Abraham Lincoln since I was a kid. And knowing that the bicentennial was coming up, I was looking at the landscape of the thousands and thousands of books written about Abraham Lincoln, and I was trying to really find a spot in that marketplace that no one had done before. I did a little more research, and I basically really came up with this concept of what happened to Abraham Lincoln's family starting from the day of his assassination onward, telling the story of the Lincoln saga right up until modern times. And what I found was just this untold story of tragedy and torment that the family experienced. It really all comes back to April 14th, 1865, when Lincoln was assassinated. And that was Good Friday, and that the bullet that struck the president down really ended up dooming the family a century later.
Well, I have to plead ignorance to a lot of the information that you gave in this book, and it was just such an eye-opener for me. Now, Mary Todd Lincoln, I've heard things over the years about her. Most people didn't like Mary Todd Lincoln. In fact, most of the material I've seen about her has been very derogatory. However, you have presented multiple facets about her that were extremely interesting. And then to find out about his son, Robert, and the grandchildren and the last Lincoln alive and what went on in his world of living, it just is amazing the amount of, like you said, tragedy, but the level of fear and ignorance. We have to remember the times that all of these different factors went on in and went through. It just was absolutely fascinating. Now, right at the very beginning of your book, you, in the prologue, you're talking about Mary Todd Lincoln. She was, as you described, the most detested first lady in American history. And you talk about April 1875 and how someone came in to arrest her. And her own son, Robert, had sworn out the warrant for his mother's arrest. I mean, I read that and I went, okay, this should be really interesting. And from there on, it was absolutely amazing, the information that you were able to come up with. It was mind-boggling.
Well, I really appreciate those kind words. How extraordinary it is that just 10 years after the assassination of this beloved figure, Abraham Lincoln, his widow is in a Chicago hotel room. She couldn't afford a home of her own. She was living the life of a boarder. There's a knock on the door. She opens the door. It's an old associate of her husband's, a lawyer named Leonard Sweat, who was a very prominent Chicago lawyer. and he says, I've got some bad news for you, Mrs. Lincoln. He sits her down, and he tells her that there are two Chicago police officers outside, downstairs, in a carriage waiting for her with instructions from a judge to take it to court, that he had in his pocket a warrant for her arrest, and that if she did not go voluntarily, he would be forced to have those cops, quote, seize her. And she was just totally stunned. She said, I want to speak to my son, Robert. Where is Robert? Robert Todd Lincoln, who was at that point her only surviving son, was a lawyer, and he and she, Mary, wanted some help. And it was then that this Leonard Sweat told her it was her own son, Robert, who had signed the warrant for her arrest. Extraordinary situation.
I felt your portrayal of information was as honest as it could possibly be, and at the same time it was very compassionate for this woman who had really loved her husband, and when he was shot, she really wished she had been shot too, so that she didn't have to survive after him, because she had so depended upon him for so many things. She did have four sons, and there was Robert, the one that we were just talking about. Then there was Edward, and he died in 1850 of diphtheria or pulmonary tuberculosis. Apparently, no one's quite sure.
Right.
But he died before the age of four, then William, and then Tad. Now, this woman, the information you give about her just is so insightful. Sometimes you want to just sort of shake her when you're reading about her, because that's what I, you know, my feeling was at times. Just, doesn't anybody get through to this lady? On the other hand, she grieved so deeply. And in her time, children, if they survived, males survived to the age of five, it was really saying something. Because
right.
A lot of them died.
Right.
And we just take so much for granted today. But at that time, for children to survive, it was really, really something.
Right. Well, as you point out, the Lincolns had four sons. Eddie died in infancy. Willie, who was sort of the golden child of the Lincoln family, died of typhoid fever in 1862 when the Lincolns were living in the White House. And then, of course, the president being shot to death in front of her eyes, which was obviously a horrific experience compared only to what Jackie Kennedy went through in 1963. And then it was 7 years after the death of her husband, she suffered the excruciating death of her beloved son, Tad Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Tad was 18 at the time of his death, and to some extent, and I want to be careful the words that I use, the death of Tad was in some ways more heartbreaking to Mary than her own husband. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Because she really, after Abraham's assassination, Tad was her life. She depended
right.
on this young man for protection, for companionship. They were quite a remarkable pair. I mean, here you have this teenager who had issues when he was a kid, but he turned out to be a wonderful young man. He was so protective of his mother, and he was such a loyal son. He went with her into exile in Europe. He followed her back home to Chicago, and then he suffered. It may have been TB. It's a little bit in historical dispute about how he died, but he certainly had pleurisy, which was the specific cause of death. And it just broke Mary's heart. It was really his death in 1871 that sent her on this spiral downward. And then, as you point out, the book really does portray Mary in a light that hasn't been portrayed up until now, although there have been some sympathetic bios written about her, including one wonderful one by Professor Jean Baker. But my book really does, I think, open up some eyes about how she should be sort of reconceived in the American public's eyes. I mean, she was the most controversial first lady in American history, still is. But there was another side of Mary that I think people need to hear about.
Well, at that time, when we think about that period, by the time people got communication about anything, It was months, maybe even years after certain situations went on. And as we know with any gossip mill, by the time you start out with something and you finish with it, it's totally changed its costume entirely a dozen or more times. So it but her behavior at times did compound this. Tad was so amazing in that he was just a regular little devil when he was at the White House. And Abraham Lincoln and Mary Todd Lincoln, you described them as being very lenient parents. And he was just, I mean, it was just amazing what he did.
He was a terror. They called him the mischief maker in chief.
Oh.
You know, imagine this during the Civil War, America is divided. Washington D.C. is under siege. There's a threat of the Southern forces under General Lee invading Washington. There's panic in the city, and little Tad hoists the Confederate flag above the White House. I mean, he was an absolute monster. He had his own charm, but he and his brother Willie, prior to Willie's death, were quite the mischievous pair. And then when Willie died, Tad really lost his best friend, and his new best friend became his own father.
Mm-hmm.
And these wonderful, wonderful stories about how during the most critical meetings of the cabinet, President Lincoln would stop the policy discussion because Tad would run in and he would beg his father to save the White House turkey from having his head chopped off for Thanksgiving dinner.
Uh-huh.
And things like that. So Tad really was a terror, but then he matured. The death of his father was such a shock to the system. It changed Tad, and it resulted in this. It, in a sense, it fixed him, and it resulted in this tremendous loyalty to his mom.
Yes, it's again. You give the information with such, I want to say, a clarity as well as a warmth, because this could be happen to anybody. I mean, these are things when you are having these various experiences and all of these horrific times are going on, and there's this tremendous drama that is throughout the book. And to be able then to move forward after we had the situation with Lincoln's death, Mary now has escaped to Europe, and one of the big things that she is trying to get is some help as the widow of Abraham Lincoln, and she is really having very, very difficult times financially. Tell us a little bit about this, because wasn't she the first widow of an American president to receive money from Congress?
To receive a pension, yes. She was really broke when Abraham died. He left an estate of about $55,000, which is the equivalent in current U.S. dollars of about $500,000, which is a substantial amount of money. And people were aware of this, and they felt that she had been left an adequate sum to live off of. But Mary had a lot of expensive tastes. When her husband died, she was left $30,000 in debt, which was an enormous amount of money, and she was a spendthrift. I mean, today we would consider her to be a shopaholic. Shopping gave her pleasure. After her husband's assassination, it was really the only thing that that made her happy, and it was a psychological dimension to her that back in the 1860s, 1870s, people really didn't comprehend.
Mm-hmm.
So she lived the life of a boarder. She wanted a home of her own for Tad, but she felt she couldn't afford one. And the consequence of that was that she went from hotel room to hotel room, both in the U.S. and finally in Europe, where she felt she had been forced to flee from her land because of the criticism and condemnation that she was receiving in the newspapers and among the citizenry. So she petitioned Congress for a pension, and there was a tremendous outpouring of protests about that. There were a lot of Republican congressmen who stood up on the floor of the House of Representatives and the Senate and used language attacking Mary Todd Lincoln that really is quite extraordinary. This is just a a few years after Abraham's murder. And the language that they use shows how what a controversial figure Mary had been. And when she was First Lady, she did some really rather stupid things. I mean, she really got her husband into a lot of unnecessary jams. She held a lot of parties in the White House, and that was condemned because America was at war.
Mm-hmm.
And she was considered to be sort of a queen, and even her own sisters attacked her. And there was an estrangement within her own family, the Todds, that resulted from that. So there's no question that Mary created a lot of her own issues and problems. But there was also, again, another side to Mary that I think creates a lot of sympathy for her.
There is a story that you have in here that I am just so intrigued with about Lizzie. This was a woman who had been a very special person to Mary and ended up writing an exposé about her association with Mary. And Mary did some pretty harsh things to her. But that fell flat on its face.
Right. The book was called Behind the Scenes, and it was written by Elizabeth Keckley, who is a sort of a forgotten figure in American history, but is really a fascinating character. She was a woman of mixed-race heritage. Her mother was black. Her father was white, and she was one of the most renowned seamstresses in Washington. She even created dresses for Jefferson Davis when he was in the Senate prior to the Civil War breaking out. And then when Mary became First Lady, she went to Elizabeth Keckley and she created designs for her, and they were very elaborate and beautiful. And they became the closest of companions. In fact, on the night of Lincoln's assassination, it was Elizabeth Keckley who Mary reached out to. She sent a policeman to Elizabeth's home to bring it back to the White House so that she could comfort her. And they became inseparable. In fact, Elizabeth actually journeyed with the Lincolns, Mary and the two surviving sons, Ted and Robert, to Chicago after they left the White House following the assassination. So her authorship of this book, Behind the Scenes, was a devastating blow to Mary. She really, really felt betrayed. And it was just after the publication of the book, which so embarrassed Mary that she decided to go into foreign exile.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. Lizzie never, ever made any real money with this book. She thought that that was going to help her get through some of her own difficulties because Mary had put demands upon her in her time and making her wait for her to do certain things. So as you say, Mary Todd Lincoln had a bit of a queen kind of a attitude, and it imposed difficulties on certain individuals, although she didn't have a lot of people close to her, really.
No, but you have to give Mary credit. When she and Lizzie met in New York to auction off Mary's old clothes, they were living in a Mary Todd was staying at a hotel in Manhattan. And when Lizzie came to check in, they took one look at her and sent her up to the to some upper floor to a horrible room,
mm-hmm,
because of her race. And Mary was totally indignant about that, and she told the hotel clerk, "Where she goes, I go." And the hotel clerk didn't recognize Mary Todd Lincoln as the former First Lady. She was living under an anonymous name at that time for security purposes, for protection. And so he said, fine. And there, the former First Lady of the United States went up to some dingy, small flat in this hotel because she felt she had to make a statement. And that was really to her great credit.
Mm-hmm.
However, she also, as you say, was this sort of queenly presence and needed a lot of coddling. And it's ironic that Lizzie Keckley, who thought this book would give her financial security, did end up living in a home for poverty-stricken women in Washington. And when she finally died, when they opened the door to her room, the only real object of value was a portrait of Mary Todd Lincoln that she had hanging up above her bed.
Mm-hmm. And she left, though, with the writings of what she had done, a tremendous amount of information for people to be able to research. And today, there's still a lot of that going on, you being one of those people that were able to find out about some of these things. Let's talk about her son, Robert. Robert was embarrassed by his mother. Robert had an arrogance that was just amazing. The comment was made in a part of your book that the people that were around the family were just, they had such an admiration for Abraham Lincoln, but they didn't like the kids, and Mary was a thorn in the side of a lot of people. This is a perspective that I thought was amazing to see.
Right. Well, Robert, as I said, he became a lawyer in Chicago after the assassination, and he became a power broker. In fact, he was considered to be a prospective future Republican nominee for the presidency. They had mocked this man for greatness. I mean, his name alone would have, in a sense, guaranteed him the nomination for his asking at some point later on in his life. In politics, particularly back then, your name meant everything.
Mm-hmm.
He was not his father's son. Even when Abraham was alive, there was always these issues between he and Robert. They were different kinds of people. Robert was arrogant. He was a little prickly in personality. He was not like Ted, who was just such a mischievous little guy, and Willie, who was such a wonderful, wonderful, warm-hearted kid. Robert was his own man, and he and his father didn't really click. Now,
mm-hmm.
he and his mother, they were more alike, which may have explained how much they sort of came into conflict with each other. But Robert was, as you point out, very embarrassed by Mary's antics. He was a part of the Gilded Age in America,
mm-hmm.
And Mary was not of her time. Mary would have been a far less controversial figure had she lived in the 20th century, the 21st century. In the 19th century, a woman did not do things that Mary Todd Lincoln did.
Yes, she had an independent factor about herself that
and
was
you
not...
You got to admire that.
Absolutely, I do. That's why I said your book is so informative. Now, when I look at the picture of Robert Todd Lincoln, you have these wonderful photographs in the book, The Last Lincolns. When I look at his photograph, he doesn't look at all like his father.
No, he looks like Mary Todd Lincoln.
Absolutely.
Right.
In fact, there are not. Now, there's the grandson, great-grandson, Robert Todd Lincoln Beckwith.
Right.
And you have the caption. Now, he looks a little bit like Abraham Lincoln, but there's still the features. It's like you see Mary more strongly in those features than Abraham Lincoln. But he called himself a spoiled brat. When people wanted to describe him or wanted to know what he did for a living, that's what he responded with. I'm a spoiled brat.
Yeah, imagine the shock of people reading interviews that he had, that the great-grandson of Abraham Lincoln had conducted over the years in which he called himself a spoiled brat. He had a sister, Mary Todd Lincoln Beckwith, known as the Peggy Beckwith, who had similar issues. Now, in the sort of genetic gene pool that the Lincoln descendants were born with, in that sort of internal battle, if you will, between Lincoln genes versus Todd genes, it's
mm-hmm.
probably a little unfortunate for the descendants that Mary Todd Lincoln's genes became the dominant genes, and all the issues that Mary had in terms of psychological issues and problems associated with all those dimensions really became the descendants became afflicted with. Peggy Mary Todd Lincoln Beckwith, Peggy Beckwith, definitely looked like her great grandmother, and she was a very, very eccentric personality. Back in the 60s, during the height of the civil rights movement, every now and then a reporter would reach out to her, usually on Lincoln's birthday, and one day a reporter for UPI asked her what did she think of the civil rights movement, and Peggy Beckwith astonished the nation when she was quoted as saying that if Abraham Lincoln were alive today, he would be a Eisenhower Republican, and she actually called herself a Southerner, and she said that people should can't be forced to like each other. That she came out in opposition to the policy of integration and actually condemned Bobby Kennedy's actions as Attorney General. And for Abraham Lincoln's great granddaughter to say these things really came as a surprise to people.
And then some. Now, you've got a twist in your book that is fascinating. You have a character by the name of Bryant Jack Kofelt. Who was this man, and why is there an association with D.B. Cooper, the mystery that has never been solved?
Right. Well, imagine my surprise. Here I am researching a book about the last Lincolns, and suddenly D.B. Cooper rears his head. Jack Kofelt worked as a chauffeur for Robert Todd Lincoln Beckwith, the last Lincoln. And the reason he comes up in the book is to show you the problems that that Beckwith had facing life. He hires this guy who's a violent-prone ex-con as his chauffeur and general helper around the house. And it turns out that Kofelt became one of the chief suspects by the FBI as a potential D.B. Cooper suspect. Now, just to for your viewers' refreshment, D.B. Cooper was, of course, the guy who famously jumped out of hijacked an airliner in the Pacific Northwest in 1971, demanded $200,000 in ransom, and a couple of parachutes, jumped out of the plane, and his body has never been recovered. Now, some people believe he died in the jump. Others believe he got away. But he became part of American folklore as sort of this this criminal who stuck it to the government.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just shocking that a guy with this criminal background would have ended up working for the Lincoln estate. Now, whether he is D.B. Cooper or not is a matter of obvious dispute. His body was cremated, unfortunately. So even though the FBI has limited DNA from D.B. Cooper, they can't really match it to Jack Kofelt because the body is gone.
Mm-hmm.
The FBI did investigate him as a suspect back in the 1970s, and they came to the conclusion that he was not D.B. Cooper, because he, at the time of the hijacking, was supposedly in a hospital. What my research has uncovered is more information about could he have done it, and I reached the conclusion that another look has to be taken at whether Kofelt and D.B. Cooper were one and the same.
Your book is fascinating, and I really like what you said in this one paragraph, and I'm going to quote it. No name has held more resonance for Americans than Abraham Lincoln. Born in a log cabin in the backwoods of Kentucky, the 16th president has come to personify the notion that even the humblest born may become president. But scandal and a sense of entitlement marked the last generation of Lincolns. In place of public service, ambition, and education, the foundations of Abraham Lincoln's genius, his descendants, became a symbol for dishonor and decadence in the upper class, to the utter destruction of the House of Lincoln. You have so much in this book. It is absolutely power-packed with detail, but the way that it's written, you have done, I think, just such a superb job, because what you have told is, again, and I'm repeating myself here, stories and facts told with different mirrors, different perspectives given. And it gives more life and understanding, not only of a time in history that is not something that we're ever really happy about, but it also is a time of change for a family that is sort of left floundering and having to do the best that they can, and one death right after the other, and the aspects of historical change that are going on all at the same time. And they're having to deal with it. It's a very powerful book. The Last Lincolns, The Rise and Fall of a Great Family. Now, I do know, Charles, you have a website called thelastlincolns.com. where people can go and get more information about that. Do you have a closing thought you'd like to make about this family that you did research for that ends up going into the phenomenal story about D.B. Cooper?
Well, I would just like to say that as we honor Abraham Lincoln's memory on the bicentennial of his birth, I think it's wonderful that all over America you have these little children reciting the Gettysburg Address, and it's a great period it's great for me as somebody who has researched Lincoln to witness all this discovery of Lincoln, and it's just wonderful to experience. And what I've done, I think, is just completed the saga of Lincoln from the point of view of his family, and how for America his assassination was certainly one of the single most horrible days in American history. For his family, that carried on into the final generations of Lincoln. And I think if there's a moral to the story, it's that a family that may be blessed with the greatest name in American history isn't necessarily blessed with success they've got to make their own way. And I think the Lincolns proved that the sense of entitlement that the descendants felt was an inappropriate way of using the legacy of this greatest man who America has ever produced.
Charles Luckman, thank you for being my guest today. This is Donna Sebo. The book again is thelastlincolns.com website. We go there, The Last Lincolns. It's awesome. It's just wonderful. And if you're a teacher, if you know someone that loves history, this is something that is a must read as far as I'm concerned. I give it a 5-star. Thank you again, Charles, for being my guest. This is Donna Sebo. We are taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Join us at the 7th Annual Conscious Life Expo Conference and Film Festival, February 13th through 16th at the LAX Hilton, 5711 West Century Boulevard, Los Angeles. We are bringing together cutting-edge speakers including David Icke, Sonia Hoquette, celebrity and musician David Carradine, Danyon Brinkley, George Norrie, Sean David Morton, Vashali, and many more. Visit www.consciouslifeexpo.com or call the box office 800-367-5777 for discounted tickets.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Pete Smith here with OrthoTemp Health Shoes. These funky-looking shoes, invented by a medical doctor, will make you feel better. Who has time to work out these days? Wear our sandals or clogs around the house, go shopping, wear them on the treadmill. You'll burn extra calories, you'll tone and trim the legs, thighs, lower abdomen, rear end, your love handle area. You'll simply feel better. Check them out on the web at orthotebb.net.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna, and I'm broadcasting from Los Angeles. We're getting ready for the Conscious Life Expo, which I'll be participating in tomorrow. And so for those of you listening, if you're in the Los Angeles area, just know that I'm going to be here for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and come on by at the Los Angeles Airport Hilton, because that's where the event is being held. And my booth number is 537. Say hello. But also know that Friday evening at 7 o'clock, I'm going to be giving a talk, and I'd love to have you join me. So that's just a little bit of information there. I will tell you, being down here, I have had quite a number of conversations with different people, and there is a real big concern because many, many individuals in the area are finding that the economy, the job positionings that were available are now disappearing. And it creates a whole feel that you would not have seen, let's say, a year ago if you were here. And I was having a conversation with someone, and they were talking about people having to deal with their mortgages. And we know that there's a lot of people that have lost their jobs, and so they're maybe going to lose their homes, but they don't have to. And I've got some information I want to share with you. And by the way, if you want to call in and chat with me, you can. Here are the toll-free numbers. No matter where I am, you still can call in and ask me questions on the show. 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. And worldwide, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. So all I need from you is your first name or initial, and you can ask me a question directly, or if you'd just like for me to do a spontaneous impression, I'd be happy to do that. So give me a call if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756. Now, I wanted to share some of this information with you because I always think it's important. When tough times hit, and nobody's exempt from them in their life experience, there's always going to be rough roads that we have to travel over at one time or another, it's good to know what options you have. And this is some information that was given to me that I thought was pretty good. And it's something that maybe will help you or help a friend. Now, when someone gets a foreclosure notice, apparently there is an opportunity today where before maybe you had 3 months, some situations in certain parts of the country, you might have been able to get by with a longer amount of time before you were foreclosed upon. But today there are opportunities for you to be able to negotiate with this, because the last thing really the banks want are a whole bunch of empty houses that they're having to contend with. That's a real ugly situation. Now, depending on who your lender is, you may need to do some shopping around, but there are going to be some points of information that will help you. One, you can get a list of credit counseling agencies that might be in your local area. There was a woman who went through a very bad accident, and she had had an adjustable rate loan on her home. And it was just one thing right after another that went awry. And she said, I just couldn't keep up with the work that I normally did, so consequently my income really went down. And she said there is a loan modification that helped her out tremendously. The bank lowered the interest or rate or monthly payment for her. It extended the amount of time on the loan. And then what they will do, apparently, is if you have any past due payments, they'll get bundled into the new loan that is set up for you. Remember, it's always better if a bank doesn't have to deal with empty houses. When we moved up to the Pacific Northwest in 1980, it was a very difficult time. In fact, there were signs, when you leave Seattle, turn the lights off. The economy was so bad in the Pacific Northwest, it was tragic. And at that time, interest rates were 18, 19, 20%. And it was just unbelievable. Were builders, they couldn't sell the homes. People weren't going to pay that much interest on anything. And they just didn't have a lot of options available at that time. Well, today is a little bit different. So if you want to find a credit counselor, you can find a certified counselor through the National Foundation for Credit Counseling. This is their website. NFCC.org, NFCC.org. And these agencies are funded by grants, so you don't have to pay anything. Now, you need to be very thoughtful if someone says we're going to have an upfront fee for advice. Lots of times, these people that are doing this, it's illegal, and you will find that your money will be definitely wasted there. They will go with you, go through things with you regarding your monthly budget, your expenses. So you want to be sure if you go and make an appointment with them that you take your financial records, your pay stubs. They need all the information that you can give them. Then the counselor will work with you to discuss a restructuring of your loan. Now, apparently, Citibank is planning, part of one of the strategies they've got, to contact 500,000 borrowers, 500,000 borrowers who are at risk of default to make sure that they will be able to take care of their loans. And J.P. Morgan Chase is reviewing loans for over 400,000 homeowners. And they will try to work out a good faith agreement. And that may be you're paying as much as you possibly can on a past due payment, which can be as little as $500 to whatever else you can afford. And they say it takes about 30 to 60 days from the time the process starts until it is closed and finished. And there may be some situations, depending on what you are going through, where this service may not work for you. However, if this is possible, it can save you hundreds of dollars a month. And this one woman, she said, people think there isn't any help, but there is. She is Tonya Cloister at the housing, she's a housing director at Consumer Credit Counseling of Springfield, Missouri. She said she worked with over 700 homeowners who were behind on their mortgages. 685 people were able to keep their homes. So this is just a little bit of information that I was given, and I thought, I'll pass it along to you, because if you know of someone who is struggling, wouldn't it be nice to be able to make them aware that there is an option? So have them check out the website, nfcc.org, because having your own home, wow, it's so important. But more than that, many times, depending on how long you've lived in your home, when you have that renegotiation done, that enables you to keep something that actually has a leverage of equity for you if you work with it correctly. So there's just a lot of things that can really help you out. Don't be afraid to ask for help if you're going through a real tough time. This is Donna Siebel. Hey, telephone lines are open. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. Or 888-815-9756, and I'll be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of insight. We'll be back in just a moment. Donna Siebel here.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Interested in UFOs, the paranormal, predictions, prophecies, and psychics? Then join us along with David Icke, Sean David Morton, Jim Mars, Richard Hoagland, Danion Brinkley, Sonia Coquette, and many more at the 7th Annual Conscious Life Expo and Film Festival, February 13th to 16th at the LAX Hilton. Call the box office at 1-800-367-5777 or visit ConsciousLifeExpo.com for more information and discounted tickets.
Enter the magical world of God's Kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95, plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
This is Pete Smith for OrthoTeb Health Shoes. OrthoTebs are completely heelless, invented by a doctor, and you'll burn 3 times the calories of regular walking in our sandals, 2 times the calories of regular walking in our clogs. They help you tone and trim the entire leg, thighs, buns, lower abs, and love handle area. They offer symptom improvement for people with plantar fasciitis and low back pain. Check them out on the web at www.orthoteb.net.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. Telephone number 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. Now, next week, tomorrow, we're going to be having a best of Donna. You're going to be hearing Eric Pearl, who is one of the speakers that's going to be here at the Conscious Life Expo. So we're going to be replaying that for your listening pleasure. Now, next week, I'm going to be having an open mic day on the 16th. I had scheduled an interview. We were going to be talking about rhythm and blues with Alan Govner, but something has come up, an emergency has evolved, and he's not going to be able to make the interview, so we'll be rescheduling him at another time. But then next Tuesday, we're going to be talking about medical tips from the inside. Two women, one is an attorney, and another is a nurse, and they have taken upon themselves to educate us about our own wellness and what you need to know and when you're dealing with the medical establishment when issues of health hit. And then we're going to be talking about philanthropy with Paul Brest. Money Well Spent is going to be the publication that we will be discussing, and it has a fascinating history to it, so I think you'll enjoy it. Then we're going to be talking with one of the hosts that you hear with about on BBS Radio here, David Gibson. We're going to be talking about sound therapy techniques and technology. There's all types of therapies. David is a fascinating man, and I'm looking forward to having him as a guest. And then Denise Brodeck. We're going to be talking about dream guiders. Well, what this is about is how you can work with children and ensure that they're going to be able to tell you their dreams and how you can work with children so that this is something that they really can enjoy as a part of their living experience, and it will give you some insights into your children that you have around her. Teresa Tapp is going to be coming up. Yes, fit and fabulous. Yes, that's what we're going to be talking about. That's coming up also. Concrete Homes, we're going to be talking about how you can exercise with OrthoTemps. We'll be talking with Pete regarding that. Road Rules, yes, you can be the truck, not the squirrel, and Seductive Delusions. Now, isn't that an enticing title? Well, I think what you're going to find is that it's going to have a big surprise because it's going to be about ST, sexually transmitted diseases. Yes, this is a doctor, Jill Grimes, who's going to be coming up with us. So we've got an interesting lineup this month. So tell your friends, and also you can check on BBS whenever that is convenient for you to find out who's going to be on the show. Now, I was telling you about that last book. Apparently, drug use and sexually transmitted diseases among American teenagers are growing, and it is just absolutely amazing. And there is a big push on saying we have to end adolescence as a social experiment, and it's time to start holding young people accountable for their actions and start looking at what we can do to ensure that they're going to be able to be better prepared for life. So there's a lot of conversation that is going on in our environment here within the U.S. and a lot of concerned people trying to get things to balance a little bit better. Now, some things that I think you might find a little bit interesting when you go to the grocery store, and this is just a little bit of trivia. If you want to avoid the crowds, shop at dinner time. For most grocery stores, between 5 and 9 p.m. or even later, about 4% of the people that come in there hit the aisles between 9 p.m. and 8 a.m. The least crowded day of the week in your local grocery store usually is Wednesday. And going and reaching back, when you're going for milk, any kind of products, when you go to the back, you'll find people will see the stuff in the front and they will pull that out and they'll go into the back for the freshest. Well, they're right, because everything is loaded from the back. So if you watch what you're reading on your products, you'll get the dates and you'll see the expiration dates that are so often noted there. And by golly, if you're a coupon person, use those coupons that have barcodes. They checkers scan them. And the other ones, they'll go through too, but it really works. Those coupons will do what they're supposed to do. Also, the more products people see, according to research, the more they're going to buy. That's why aisles are so long and milk is usually in the far corner. There's a lot of thought that goes into designing a grocery store layout, because they want you to look at as much as possible. And by golly, if you find a store that is employee-owned, you're going to find that they are going to be the ones that are really going to give you the best service. Apparently, they have discovered something a lot of people have known for a long time being in business, that when employees have a stake in the profits, their attitudes are usually a lot better. Oh, have you ever heard of the grazers in the store? I've seen a few of them, but I didn't know they were called grazers. Well, that is the popular term in the grocery store environment for those people who order things at the deli, eat them as they're shopping, and get rid of the wrappers before they check out. Yes, people do that. Appalling. Well, this is Donna Sebo. We've run out of time. Wherever you are, have a fabulous, fabulous weekend. And remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Sebo right here in Los Angeles at the Conscious Life Expo. I'll be back with you live on Monday. Talk to you then, right here at BBS. Same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.